Ireland goes to the polls over financial austerity.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. Another big vote in Europe today on the issue of austerity. In recent elections in Greece and France, voters showed a lack of support for the deep spending cuts tied to bailout loans from Europe. Now Ireland is holding a referendum on whether to ratify Europe's new fiscal discipline pact. Joining us now from the streets of Cork on the southern tip of Ireland is Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Stacey.
Stephen, how much is at stake in today's vote?
Not as much as with next month's rerun of the Greek elections. If Greek voters vote against austerity again, that really could lead to Greece defaulting and the country crashing out of the euro. But what the Irish are voting on today is whether or not to accept the new fiscal discipline treaty. If they vote no today, that won't lead to default, certainly not in the short term, but it would be a vote against austerity and further undermine a key tactic for dealing with the debt crisis.
Do we have a sense of how the Irish are going to vote?
I think the majority are likely to back it. I've just been walking around Cork and it's absolutely bristling with posters and billboards saying things like vote yes for stability, yes for investment, yes to secure Ireland's future. But, you know, the Irish have a habit of voting no. They initially rejected two European Union treaties in previous referendums, and there's no doubt that the Irish are heartily sick of austerity. So they could vote no.
So, Stephen, Ireland got its own bailout of about $100 billion. What happens if voters reject the fiscal discipline treaty?
Well, as I say, it won't endanger the bailout. It won't lead to an immediate default. In fact, the fiscal discipline treaty would go ahead without the Irish, but it could have wider repercussions. It would strengthen the hand of the new French president, who says Europe needs to put more emphasis on growth and do less budget cutting. And it would put more pressure on the Germans to soften their hard line on austerity. But it would be a further sign of rebellion and disarray in the eurozone, not what the global economy needs right now.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in Cork, Ireland. European markets are on the rebound this morning after worries about the debt situation in Spain weighed them down yesterday. London's FTSE is up 0.75%. Germany's DAX is up 0.4%. Online travel site Kayak is postponing plans to start selling stock. The company's foot dragging is seen as a reaction to Facebook's rocky public offering a couple weeks ago. U.S. markets took a beating yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 1.25% to close at 12,419. This morning, the price of oil is near its lowest level since last October, just a shade over $88 a barrel. Blame weak demand in Europe, among other things. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
For decades, $88 a barrel had oil companies seeing giant dollar signs. They could drill, refine, and sell it for a hefty profit. Now, costs a whole lot more to produce. With conventional oil fields depleting, companies now go under the ocean, or mine it on land and cook it, or melt it to the surface. So $80 now can be the break-even price in places like Alberta or North Dakota. So when prices tumble, here's Deborah Gordon of the Carnegie Endowment's Energy Program.
If there's not enough demand, then you can keep it in the ground a little longer and turn it back on when the price, you know, fluctuates.
Most analysts think this is a short-term dip. But that's what many said in the early 80s, when oil prices cratered and stayed in the valley.
Those kinds of time frames, decade at a time, that's when projects start turning off. That's when you start seeing companies sell off or turn off. It's just not economically viable.
Assuming prices rise again, big oil would cheer, but not too loud. If crude stays high for too long, consumers start to buy alternatives for good. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Foreclosed homes are making up a bigger chunk of home sales. A report from RealtyTrack found distressed properties accounted for more than a quarter of all residential home sales in the first 3 months of this year. Today, housing advocacy groups from 17 states are launching a campaign to force presidential candidates to address foreclosures. From WYPR in Baltimore, Mary Rose Madden reports.
What's it going to take to make foreclosures the top issue in this presidential election?
Hi, good afternoon. How are you today?
A lot of phone time. LeVar Michael is talking to one of 20,000 homeowners on this local group's phone list. Phone calls, door-to-door canvassing, rallies, meetings, it's all part of the on-the-ground effort to organize homeowners facing foreclosure.
There's a lot of people who are struggling to stay in their homes. Sometimes people feel isolated. We just are here to help, and we're here to reach out to them and to provide any assistance we can.
Michael is a member of the new Home Defenders League. It says federal programs offer no enforcement, and federal task forces have not done nearly enough to address this crisis.
We're not going to give our votes away for free. We expect to see something substantive occur in order to vote those people back in office.
So the Home Defenders League is trying to organize a mass movement to convince homeowners to fight the banks while urging the presidential candidates to stand up for these voters. In Baltimore, I'm Mary Rose Madden for Marketplace.
And finally, apparently resting in peace is so last year. A new service will keep your Facebook page active after you die, sending messages to friends and family, things like birthday notes every year. It's called Dead Social, and it's still in beta testing, though thousands of people have apparently signed up. When asked about the service by Forbes, owner James Norris said, "Why should we stop creating content when we pass on?" In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.